When we look at the big question in people's mind often is, am I addicted? What is an addiction? And who cares if it's an addiction? My personal belief is that addiction is a pattern of self-destructive behavior. And to me, the definition of an addiction is short-term gain, long-term pain. On the short term, the things we do that are self-destructive do work to take us out of our pain, discomfort, solve the problem, or ignore the problem. The real bottom line, though, is that it doesn't solve the issue, and they always come back. It will not go away. And I believe that this is part of the human condition as a result of sin. We are in patterns of self-destructive behavior naturally. And so we tend to avoid the things that will solve problems because they're too hard, too difficult, too daunting, too painful, and we don't do them. We do short-term gain, long-term pain and destruction. To me, recovery is about learning new ways to function that work, new ways that are consistent with God's paradigm of life, and that is things that build us up. And so recovery is about short-term pain and struggle, because oftentimes on the short term, what works is more difficult. But in the long run, it really does work, and there's less pain and more enjoyment and more goodness in life. So for me, recovery is about short-term pain and struggle, but long-term gain and growth.
Welcome to Unhooked. My name is Pastor Bernie.
And I'm Dr. Kitty, and today we're going to talk about treatment options for addiction. And we have with us today Jeff Jones, who's a certified national drug and alcohol interventionist.
So Jeff, give us an idea of an overview of treatment options for people who are in trouble, groups or other options that you know of.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for having me, first of all. And yes, there's so many different levels available to those that are in trouble. And starting with something as basic as 12-step recovery groups, Alcoholics Anonymous, or inside the churches themselves, they have recovery groups. If that's all that someone can afford, that can be all that's required. The catchy part, I imagine, would be the detoxification process, having to do it on your own at home. That can be a problem. When you're supervised in a medical detox, it's a lot easier. You've got people taking care of you. It's a medical situation. You're coming down comfortably. So that's at the very base level. And there's lots of recovery that takes place there. And then there's the 501c3s that offer free treatment, more or less. You can donate to the cause. And a lot of churches are behind those sort of things. There's ranches, and there's getaways, and there's... But it's basically free still. And then you've got multiple other sorts of treatments that are the Malibu models and so on. So that's what's available for those that need it.
Yeah, and I understand, you know, there's the psychological or the mental health component with addiction, but there's also the physical. And as you mentioned with detox, there are some drugs that you might be addicted to that could be dangerous physically. What are the different things you might want to consider or need to consider depending on which option might be the right one for an addict?
Well, I think there's a lot of misunderstandings out there. For opiate users and alcoholics, the detox process is very intense and life-endangering. And so they really do need to be, if you can't afford a detox, you need to go at least to a doctor and have medication allocated. And things like meth and other things, it's really not that much of a detox process. It's more of an emotional process. But physically, it's pretty easy. It's pretty easy.
How would I know I need treatment? You know, how do I, you know, oh, I'm actually an addict and I need treatment?
The addict and the alcoholic are always the last ones to find out. Mm-hmm. Always. And so it really requires other people to come in and sit down with them in a calm fashion, in a compassionate fashion, understanding. And generally, they know they need help, but they're hopeless. They are absolutely hopeless, and they're hooked. So they need to have a tiny bit of hope that, you know, you're going to approach them and give them a solution that's going to work.
Is there a time frame that, in other words, if someone enters treatment for an addiction, should we look to them to get better, to get healthy within 6 months, 6 years? What is being unhooked look like? Mm.
Great question. Physically, it happens really quick. 30 days later, we're looking like completely different people. We walk in looking like POWs. We walk out pretty shiny, but we're not unhooked. It's on the spiritual level. So there's a physical, an emotional, and a spiritual level. The physical comes around relatively quick. Emotionally, it can take years, and spiritually, well, that can also happen relatively quick, depending on where the person is at, how earnestly they reach out to God for help.
What about relapse? Along the way, it seems like there's going to be periods in which maybe they sort of fall off the wagon. How do they get back in and stay with the program?
It's a well-known, well, it's commonly said out there that relapse is part of the is part of recovery, and I look at relapse like it really begins way early in the addict's life. Quietly on his own, he says to himself, "I'm going to stop on my own," and then finds out that this opponent is a lot bigger than he had anticipated. And so, in those early stages, yes, it is a good thing that leads to recovery. Recovery really begins when you reach out to someone else and you share it with somebody else. And you're asking for help. And then, so let's take it from there. Let's say someone goes to a detox rehab and they come out and they just weren't quite prepared for going back to work or going back with the family, and they relapse. In a good treatment center, they're going to tell them there's a possibility that these things are going to happen and to just try to get back on the wagon. The sooner the better. There's a lot of shame, there's a lot of guilt, there's a lot of hopelessness that surrounds you in the relapse.
I think you raise a very important point, and that is that, you know, something I read in the literature that said that the only thing that predicts successful treatment is the number of times you try. And so the important message here is that we need to put that supportive community around the addict and believe that they can become unhooked.
Right, yes.
And we're going to go to a break now. Thank you.
So there's a spectrum of treatment options that are available for people that are really wanting to grow and address personal issues. And they range from more grassroots to deeply academic and highly researched models and modalities. And we have grassroots movements such as Alcoholics Anonymous that really is for people that actually work the program. And that's an important distinction. For people that actually work the program, has probably some of the most successful outcomes of any program, no matter where you look or how long it's been around. And then you get into deeply academic programs and best practices, they call them, or evidence-based programs. And they have to stand under the rigor of some research, and those would be certainly an attempt to be ethical in the work that we do with people as professionals, and yet quite frankly the key really sits in the relationship between the therapist or the therapeutic community and that client. That's where your real success comes from, is that magic of the relationship and the connection. So when we look at all these different programs, whether it's grassroots or highly academic or professionally developed or evidence-based, when it really comes down to it, we're talking about that relationship component. You that has to come from the heart. You can't write that out, okay? And that includes some healing from hurts and wounds. And it includes learning how to come alongside each other and support each other, to be true friends, truly being connected in a respectful way. But that's a learning process. It's not about being perfect about it. We're hung up on perfect. We're hung up on cure. God's not, in my opinion. God is interested in offering a new future and having an impact now, but it's not the cure. We all want change. We all want people to stop their addiction. And when they do, we're surprised at some of the things that change. They may not be as compliant as they used to be. And all of a sudden, we think they're difficult. Or they may set a boundary, quote unquote, that big old boundary word, right? And say no sometime. And we're not ready for that. So I would say one of the things we need to be ready for is that change is going to impact them in ways we don't expect. And give them room to adjust and make an adjustment as they get home and back into connection with family and friends. Now, on a much more pragmatic level, when people are getting ready to go to treatment, you can expect a certain level of resistance, which is oftentimes driven by fear. What's going to happen? What's this all about? Will it really work? Can I do this? That's oftentimes behind what appears to be resistance. So we can expect those kind of things. And in reality, the challenge that we have, if we're going to be effective, is to keep pushing in, do the work, and engage with the process. It's interesting, the dynamic of what we call a self-fulfilling prophecy. Self-fulfilling prophecy has a huge influence on the effectiveness of treatment. And what we mean by that is, do I think it'll work? Do I think it will work will determine my level of investment. And my level of investment oftentimes impacts the outcome. So all those dimensions will impact the family in different ways and the way that people experience the treatment process.
Welcome back to Unhooked, where we've been talking about treatment options. And thank you, Jeff, for being here with us. And I understand that there might be some experiences with treatment that you might be able to share with our viewers to understand better how treatment works.
I'm one of those people that tried on their own and met wall after wall after wall. And so I eventually went to a 12-step meeting, Alcoholics Anonymous, and did some things. And I loved the spiritual component that AA had. I'm a Christian. Not being able to talk about Jesus in the meetings wasn't a problem for me. I prayed the way I needed to. But I had actually a miracle happen for me in 1988, where I asked the Lord, I used AA's criteria, and I said, hey, this thing has got me whipped. Will you please help me with alcohol? I drank, and when I drank, I used other drugs, only then. And so I thought, you get rid of the drinking, it's going to be all set. And so I know now that I should have been medically detoxed, and instead, I didn't even get a headache. It was a miracle, flat out. However, today, if I could go back, I would have said, Father, take away my self-centeredness, take away my fear, take away my guilt, and my need to use drugs and alcohol. I would be very curious to see what would have happened with that prayer, but I only had asked him for the alcohol. So I had this miracle happen, and in 1 year I was going to go back and tell the guys in AA about God and his power. And instead, I relapsed, and I fell into some old things, and one thing led to another, and I, 2 years later, was addicted to heroin. That is when I finally reached another bottom and went into a 12-step meeting. And there I found hope for the first time in that I understood. I only did one step when I went to God and asked him to help, and there was a lot of other steps that are all Christian in the base of it. So in the 12-step, I detoxed on my own at home. I just did what was called cold turkey. And I found the 12 steps to be very, very effective in handling the root of my problem, which was a spiritual dilemma.
I understand that, you know, now you're a drug and alcohol interventionist. So treatment must be something that you really believe in and important. Can you just talk a little bit about your journey through that?
Yes. All of those things I described, I look at it now today like the Lord was forming me to be a very compassionate, understanding person for all of those things, all those substances, all those. He brought me through it so that I can be there for them. Bringing someone to treatment requires a smidgen of hope, just a tiny bit. When you are addicted, you have none, and you have a lot of darkness talking to you about really committing suicide. That's the ultimate message that the dark side is telling us, and it comes in layers and layers. So the hope level is that it's not existing. So to get in front of someone to talk to them about treatment and is really based on giving them a tiny bit of hope, a tiny spark that the Lord can then work with. And getting them into treatment is sort of like what my daughter termed a timeout house. Mm-hmm. And it gives you a little bit of time away from everything to get sober physically, emotionally a little bit reestablished, and spiritually restored. And so my experience with treatment was that it was a fantastic experience and freeing and letting me know I'm not alone, letting me know that there is help and that there is a lot more to me than what I had been dealing with prior, you know.
How did you see Christ and the gospel in the 12 steps? How does that, you know, the 12 steps obviously are very Christ-centered, very Christian. Where does that come out? Where does that message come out in the 12 steps?
I will answer that and just say, I want to go to, you know, I went to church and I prayed and I thought the Lord was just going to have me walk away healed, and that just wasn't my path. And I think that it happens sometimes. It wasn't my path. However, the 12 steps to me is about the crux of everything. It's coming to believe that God is first of all, and that I have a great need for Him in order to survive. So the fourth step covers the fear, the resentment and the guilt that I have deeply set in. And for those things, resentment is about forgiveness. Fear is about having faith. And guilt is about making amends. And that is really the 12 steps in a nutshell. You know, you ask God into your life. And he doesn't hide when we do that. He comes right and he comes strong. And then he walks us through the process of restoring ourselves and the root of the problem.
Give someone hope. You said that hope is so critical. What would you say to someone who may be watching this program, who may be in trouble? Give them hope. What words would you use?
There is a place that is available to you that you have no idea. You're just going to have faith that you have been through a very, very dark place so that you can find a higher high than you've ever imagined. And you can't get there without going to these depths that you're in. Trust the process and go and get alongside of some others and walk through it. The Lord will bless you abundantly.
I think you raised earlier an important point that often the addict doesn't know themselves of their addiction. And so I think the message of hope also needs to come from those around them. You have a problem and you need treatment and there is hope for you, but let's find that way to support you into getting that help. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you, Jeff. And we certainly want everyone watching to have a great sense of hope as they deal with the issues going on in their own lives. And we'll be right back.
I've seen people get help in some of what I consider to be the worst programs in the United States. And I've been amazed. And so when we talk about people's ability to get better and to progress, we're really not talking as much about the treatment program as we are about our relationship with God, because God uses people that are not perfect. He uses programs that are not perfect. and we can progress no matter where we're at or what we're doing. People in prison and in jail have transformative experiences. People who've never met a therapist get mental healing. So God isn't limited, and the success is really based on God, not the facility, the therapist, or us. Our role is just like salvation. Will we accept it? Will we engage with it? Will we really allow the work to occur that God wants to do? We simply don't have what it takes, and God does, and that's what makes the difference.
Raleigh shared with us about how short-term gain is what addicts look for rather than long-term gain. But you know, long-term, we want to be healed by Jesus himself. We want to be connected with him. God uses many different methods to help people. But what we have found is that ultimately, from a Christian point of view, we want an experience of Jesus himself. Jesus went about all the villages when he was here on earth. He preached the gospel, he taught people, but he spent more time healing people than he did anything else. Because he's in the healing business, he can also heal you today. One of the things we see in the scriptures in Psalms 147, verses 2 and 3, is that he gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up all their wounds. This same Jesus gathers together outcasts today. I don't know how many of you have ever felt like an outcast in your own life. I know I surely have. My name is Dr. David, and I've struggled with many things myself, and I have felt away from people. I've felt like an outcast from society at times, despite all my achievements. I'm sure that many of our listeners can relate to that as well, that you have at times felt disconnected from people, but treatment is about bringing people back together again. And not only does God gather together the outcasts of Israel, but he heals the brokenhearted and binds up all their wounds. This same Jesus is a healer of your broken heart today. He wants to connect with you in the deepest recesses of your heart, in places that you never dreamed that he could inhabit. He wants to open your heart, but he only can do that by invitation. He's inviting you today. He's standing at the door of your heart and knocking and saying, "If anyone will open, I will come in and I will touch you and I will heal you in the depths of your broken heart." But he only does that with our permission. He does not force healing upon us. Will you open your heart to his healing today? For more information about how you can break free from habits that hurt, contact Adventist Recovery Ministries. And for prayer, call 1-888-446-7388. Choose to become unhooked today.